Absolute Power by Mark Tavener, starring Stephen Fry and John Byrne.
£750,000for a house in the Mile End Road. Charles, do you ever wonder if you're all completely mad?
Well, I can imagine paying £750,000 not to live in the Mile End Road. In fact, you could start a bidding war. I'll give you £1 million, do I hear £1.5 million, not to live in the Mile End Road.
Advantages, 3 bathrooms, blah, blah, blah. Disadvantages, being burgled and mugged. So, the deal is, I'll give you £750,000, provided you promise to burgle me while I'm in and mug me as soon as I go out.
Well, I suppose if you sit there incontinent with fear, at least you've got the choice of 3 bathrooms.
The whole world's gone stark raving.
It's supply and demand, Martin. Everybody wants to be here. It's the nerve centre, the capital, the head, bursting with ideas, fizzing with energy.
Yes, yes, you love all that, don't you? I can't help feeling I'd prefer a quiet backwater somewhere in the left leg.
I belong here, Martin. It makes me feel alive. A force of capitalist nature. A coiled spring of enterprise.
I think I've just got the coiled spring right up the armchair of utter indifference.
Martin, I couldn't cope without London, and could it cope without me?
Charles, could I have a word?
I'll leave you to it, Charles.
Quiet night in the backwater?
No, 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 not at all. Out on the town. I'm meeting a friend for dinner, actually. Well, sort of friend.
Good night, Martin.
Yes. Thing.
Now, Clive.
Are you pleased?
With life in general, or you in particular?
With my Britain's Trains, the image relaunch.
Clive, what did I actually ask you to do?
You said we've been asked to give Britain's Trains a PR facelift, sketch out some ideas.
Yes?
And you said, look, Clive, there's no point in lying about this. No use trying to persuade people that our trains are wonderful. Restrain your youthful exuberance and aim for quiet understatement.
Yes, I do sometimes aim for quiet understatement myself. Then I spend 2 minutes with you. Explain the thinking behind the poster campaign.
Well, I think it's fairly self-explanatory, Charles. It's two people pushing a car in a snowstorm.
Yes.
In their underwear.
Yes.
With chains round their legs. And the strap line, Britain's Trains, things could be worse. And then this one. Well, obviously, like, these are galley slaves on a ship, sweating and rowing away and being whipped and abused, and rats all over the place. And the strap line, even First Great Western aren't this bad. I think that's contentious.
Clive.
Have you lost something, Charles?
Only the will to live.
I think you're going to like this, Martin. Can you believe it's the hottest restaurant in town?
Well, I did get a clue from the lukewarm gin and tonic.
Good evening, sir. Your bill.
We haven't actually ordered anything yet.
Yeah, it saves time.
Yes. Yes, I see. So, what do you recommend, Roger?
The fish of the day, I rather think.
What is the fish of the day?
It's white.
Oh, sounds delightful.
Do you know what they do with the fish here, Martin?
Let me guess. They take it out of the freezer, pop it in the microwave and throw it at you from the kitchen door. It saves time.
We shall require the table back at 8:30.
Oh, what a shame. I was hoping to take it with us. Look, do we have time for a quick suck on a damp cloth if we share one cloth between two?
Two fish of the day. Drink?
Did you have some wine?
Mineral water for me, please.
Well, which?
Beg your pardon?
This is the pre-theatre fast menu. One bottle per table.
Well, look, we'll have some wine and a water pistol.
Thank you.
You know, the longer I live in London, the more I wonder what the hell I'm doing here.
Well, that's why I wanted to see you, actually. Martin, I'm saying goodbye to all of it.
Oh, well, this waiter, I wouldn't reckon your chances of saying hello to any of it, frankly.
No. London, Martin, a whole caboodle I'm selling up. Purely as a temporary measure, mind you.
You? I thought you loved the place. Good Lord. I remember staggering onto the last tube with you, belting out London Pride has been handed down to us.
Yes, I did. To be frank, I've made some serious money on the sale of my property.
Oh, what was it? A tent on the Mile End Road?
So I bought a restaurant in Devon. Well, a pub, really, with food.
Fish.
Oh. And that'll be the small selection of small vegetables. So, you're off to Devon?
Yeah. The thing is, the pub is in a very remote area. Very remote indeed. In fact, it's almost totally inaccessible, unless you've got a helicopter.
So, how are you going to attract customers?
I'm not. I'm not a tax lawyer for nothing. Martin, I've got so much money, I don't know what to do with it. It's such a problem.
Is it? Oh, yes, it must be.
I've simply got to lose some of it. Come down and have dinner. Have several, on me. Bring a friend.
No, I just might.
I've got just the friend, as a matter of fact. Strangely, you rather remind me of him.
Come down. Have some fun.
I think I just might.
Can't you feel that Devon air?
No, I can feel a wheeze coming on.
Charles, over here.
Ah, over there.
Are you sure this is safe?
Well, of course this is safe. This is a business management course for Premiership football clubs. There's nobody here at all.
Charles, Downing Street's launching a new campaign. We'd rather like some Prentice McCabe input.
Excellent.
How are the trains, by the way?
They're appalling.
No, I mean, how is P. McSee's train image relaunch campaign?
Well, I suppose things could be worse.
I'd like to see some ideas.
Yeah, well, I will get back to you with regard to that one, certainly. But what's the new campaign?
Healthy eating.
Oh, God.
Yes, we're going to lead the battle against obesity. Charles, did you know that in affluent Western societies, the size of the average human body has increased dramatically in the last 20 years?
Yeah, well, you sound like a man who's researched the subject personally.
Charles, you're not looking enthused by this campaign.
To be perfectly candid, I hate wowsers. I hate preachy, preachy, nanny state bossy boots. Don't smoke this, don't drink that. And in my experience, when governments resort to healthy eating campaigns, it's because they're totally clueless about the things they're meant to be doing. NHS, not a clue. The benighted trains, not a clue. Let's change the subject and have a healthy eating campaign.
Charles, there is a fairly logical connection between the NHS and healthy eating. Anyway, the PM is taking a keen interest in this campaign.
Oh, yes, he's rather a fitness fanatic, isn't he?
He's got his own gym in number 10. He's always up there.
Except when he's clutching his chest and falling over. He'll make a splendid advertisement for the whole project.
Charles, there is a sizable budget for this campaign.
My dear Archie, I'm always happy to eat your money.
I mean, one doesn't like to boast or anything.
Not at all, Martin. I called you in evidence. Never mind the PM, I said. Look at my friend Martin, a man who smoked 80 Gauloises a day from the age of 3, has drunk more claret than the population of Paris, and if food isn't covered in cream, butter and alcohol, he's not interested. And he's never had a day's illness, etc.
Yes, and what was Archie's reply?
He said that was Aunt Lottie syndrome.
Sorry?
Well, everyone, says Archie, has an Aunt Lottie who smoked, drank, ate fish and chips 4 times a day and lived to be 90. They are the exceptions, says Archie. They are irrelevant.
Ah, yes. Mine was called Dorcas. Auntie Two Bottles Dorcas. I used to love visiting her. You know the way aunts and uncles give you a pound when you're a young lad? Well, the first time I met Dorcas, I was only 4, and she was so drunk she gave me 50 quid. A few more visits to her and I could have retired before I was 11. And she did live to be 90.
Well, she wouldn't now. She'd expire from the sheer tedium of getting wowsed at.
Yeah, and we are to be the chief wowsers. Pity. I was so hoping I could tempt you down to Devon.
Devon? Martin, it is my practice never to go further west than Westminster.
Oh, yes, yes, I know. It's just that a friend of mine is opening a restaurant. It's going to be a disaster.
And he can't cook?
Oh, on the contrary. Roger's an excellent cook. It's just... He's sunk everything he's got into this venture, and he's such a nice chap. If only there was something we could do.
Oh, dear.
You see, there is a difference between cooking the odd dinner party and doing it 12 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yes, giving it the full Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, so I feel I ought to be there, you know, for his opening night.
In case it's his closing night.
Yes. Mm. If only there was something we could do. You can't spare the time, of course.
How unhealthy is the food?
Gloriously.
Well, in that case, Martin, this sounds like a challenge. And I never refuse a challenge.
Your claret, monsieur.
Ah, splendid. Thank you, Maurice.
Maurice, monsieur.
Maurice, one man may recline, whine and dine and feel fine, whilst another is down a mine in muck and slime all the time. Go down a mine, Maurice.
Oui, monsieur.
Charles, do sit down. Of course this is the right train. Stop looking so fraught. London will still be here when you get back. It'll be able to manage for a day or two without you.
It's the thought of leaving Clive in charge.
Nonsense.
We'd like to welcome passengers aboard the 0933 London Paddington to Plymouth service.
See?
This train will call at Reading, Newbury, Westbury, Pusey, Castlecary, Taunton, Exeter St David's, Tynemouth, Dawlish, Rangoon, Melbourne, the Planet Czar, Totnes, and scheduled to arrive at Plymouth, eventually.
We should never have left that healthy eating campaign to Clive. By the time we get back, he'll have poisoned the nation.
Nonsense, Charles. For pity's sake, there is a world outside the Beltway, the Westminster Village. Relax. Have a Gauloise.
There is no smoking in any part of this train. In keeping with our health and safety policy, any passenger found smoking will be summarily executed.
No. Damn.
That's it. Let's get off.
Charles, sit down. We promised Roger we'll be there. The very worst will be a few days' rest.
I don't do rest.
Think of the wine. Think of the food.
There is a buffet service on this train serving the still warm bodies of executed smokers and sesame bun. There are no hot drinks on this train. This is due to a defective urn. Defective urn is the managing director of this train company.
Gone? What do you mean they've gone?
Well, they've taken a few days off. They're in Devon.
Charles Prentice hasn't had a day off in all the years I've known him. Now, what about our healthy eating campaign?
Oh, that's no problem. It's in very safe hands.
Is it?
Yep, mine. I'm Clive, by the way.
Oh, God.
I expect Charles has mentioned me.
Yes, he has.
Now, I've mapped out some initial ideas. What do you think? It's a picture of a doner kebab covered in grease and chili sauce, and that's a human heart covered in grease and blood. And the strap line, if you eat donors, you'll need a donor. What do you think?
What's Charles's mobile number?
Charles, your phone.
Yes, and who cares?
Good God, you're getting in Devon mode.
You know, when I was a boy, I was in the church choir.
You?
Yes, oh yes, yes. I poisoned our star treble so I could sing the solos at the carol concert. He was sick once in Royal David City, twice in the little town of Bethlehem, and three times in the communion wine.
I was rather struggling with the idea of a little angelic you.
Oh, but I looked like a little angel, Martin. I still do, of course.
Yes, of course. Mm.
And I remember the vicar in one of his interminable sermons saying, "Life is like the train journey between Tynmouth and Dawlish. We've all got the deep blue sea on one side and the big red cliffs on the other."
And that made a big impression on you.
Oh, it certainly did. 2 weeks later, I signed a long-term contract to play centre-forward for the Devil.
Black or white?
White, please.
Well, how was it?
That was one of the best dinners I have ever eaten in my life.
Magnificent.
Well, try this to round it off. Some rather special cognac to accompany your coffee. Oh, and the dinner is, of course, on the house.
Oh, but there's really no need.
Nonsense, Charles, you're my guests. Oh, by the way, how's your room, Charles? Do you like the view over the bay?
It's heavenly.
You enjoy your cognac and I'll join you when the other customers have gone. Not that there are many, of course, but I'm sure things will pick up. Eh, Martin?
Martin, your friend, Roger.
Yes?
He's a good person, isn't he? An ordinary, decent, good person.
Yes, indeed. And he so wants the restaurant to succeed.
The bastard.
I beg your pardon?
Well, Martin, I spend my life in Soho and Westminster, surrounded by twisters, liars, hustlers and shysters.
Yes, you've always fitted rather well into that world.
But how often do I meet an ordinary, good person?
Yes, they are thin on the ground in London, I grant you.
And here he is, slaving his guts out, sinking every penny he's got into this. And I know he's your friend, but he's going to fail, isn't he? Commercially, I mean.
I certainly hope so.
What?
I'm very much afraid you're right, Charles. Yes, terribly sad.
He's too nice. Prentice McCabe didn't get to be a top agency by being nice.
Well, you certainly didn't, Charles, no.
And that's another thing. Prentice McCabe doesn't need free dinners. It's embarrassing.
I should take full advantage if I were you. You would in London.
Well, of course I would in London. I'd choose the most expensive dishes in the most expensive restaurant, and I'd spend the whole time thinking, you're paying for this. So what's your angle? What are you after?
Yes, quite.
But Roger isn't after anything. He's just being nice.
You really believe that, don't you?
Charles, we've had a message for you. Apparently your mobile's switched off.
My dear Roger, I've just been for a walk across the most beautiful moors in England. I've eaten a sublime dinner whilst looking out on a peaceful, restful river. A mobile phone in this context would be like ruby wax on Remembrance Sunday.
It's from somebody called Clive. Ring any bells?
Not bells, exactly. It's more like a cat's claw down a blackboard.
He says, healthy eating campaign not going entirely to plan, however have received offer for marketing rights in heart-shaped doner kebabs. Please advise. Mean anything?
Not a damn thing. Not to worry. Now, listen, you simply must allow us to pay for dinner.
Nonsense, Charles. More cognac.
Well, I'm sorry you didn't like that one.
He's a Labour Prime Minister. He's no idea what a doner kebab is.
Well, perhaps you'll like this one better.
What's this?
Well, you see, there is a term of abuse which is sometimes applied to a person who's overweight.
I'm familiar with the term. I've just never seen one made out of actual lard before.
Yeah. Eye-catching, isn't it?
Let me get this straight. Are you proposing to lend the Prime Minister's name to a bottom made out of lard?
Well, we could always use John Prescott's name. I have the feeling you don't like this.
No, he is not going to fail.
What?
Roger, he's not going to fail. I, Charles Prentice, have decided.
Oh, it's a tough challenge, Charles. This could be too much for even you.
You know my methods, Martin.
My dear Charles, this is rural Devon. This is hardly the scope for dirty tricks and wheezes down here.
Oh, don't you believe it. Now, what is the first rule of running a successful business?
Decent product, soundly marketed.
Yes. They don't need us for that. The first priority is to screw the opposition by the filthiest, foulest means available. Now, according to me, there are four other restaurants in the area. At least there were as of this morning. Suddenly, they are about to experience a slump.
Charles, what are you planning?
You know, I've always rather fancied myself as a waiter.
A waiter? You?
Yeah, I've always thought I'd been rather good at it, you know. Now, where shall I start? The peckish prelate at Piddleminster or the malnourished monk at Whittleton St. Wee-Wee?
You're proposing to walk in and get a job as a waiter?
Martin, anyone can walk in and get a job as a waiter, although not if they do the job as I propose to do.
More champagne, Martin.
Excellent idea.
It's breakfast, Martin.
And we're in Devon. Come on, we don't do this often.
Oh, very well. But, Roger, you must let us pay.
I wouldn't hear of it, Charles. Oh, Charles, there was another message for you from Clive. Healthy eating campaign, not total success. However, have received offer to buy manufacturing rights from erotic lard products of Cheltenham.
I want them back. I want them back.
But Archie, I'm here.
I know, that's why I want them back. Lard bottoms, heart-shaped doner kebabs.
But my new campaign.
Your new campaign is worse than your other campaigns. A couch with a potato sitting on it. I mean, for goodness sake. And the Granny Smith wheeze.
Well, Delia is getting on a bit.
Where is Charles? Where is he, for pity's sake?
Are you ready to order? You're welcome to the peckish prelate.
Shall I compose a menu?
Well, you could do. Failing that, you could sing a rainbow or cry me a river. What do you want to eat?
I'd like the jugged hare.
No, you wouldn't.
But I've had it before.
And frankly, madam, it shows. I appreciate the menu says jugged hare. What it means is Death Wish 5.
If my wife would like the jugged hare, she must have it.
It's off.
Well, no, it isn't. I can see someone eating it over there.
Yes, well, it's not actually off. We've run out of jugs.
What?
You may, of course, have the hare, madam. It will be liquidized and served in a water pistol. One hare Tarantino. And for you?
I will have what I always have, the Carpaccio de Aranguez 1812 Pathetique.
Oh, no. The Carpaccio is an inventive dish. Subtle, original, and sophisticated. Obviously unsuitable for you. Oh, in your case, I'd hesitate to recommend corned beef, egg and chips in case the egg were a finesse too far.
I have been coming here for 20 years. I've never been spoken to like this.
Well, I'm doing my best to rectify the deficiency.
Right, I want to see the landlord. Get George.
George is not here.
I come every Wednesday.
That's why he's not here. He said to me last night, I can't stand to be in my own restaurant with that pretentious bastard. I don't want to take his order. I just want to walk up to the smarm bucket and say, what's your poison, Posey? He's like the greasy relic of a bygone age. Everyone in the kitchen calls you Brill Cream. You know that?
We're not staying to listen to this.
Oh, dear. Well, don't on any account go to Shea Roger. It's much too good for the likes of you. Oh, aren't you going to stay and compose a menu?
doe, a deer, a female deer. The peckish prelate
has ceased to peck, and the malnourished monk has died of starvation. Another day, another wheeze, another triumph.
Charles, Martin.
Roger, you're looking terribly stressed.
Look, I don't know how to say this to you guys. Your usual table, it's still occupied by customers. What the hell are they doing here?
Well, that's splendid.
I can't believe it. We're packed to the rafters. It's as much as we can do to serve all these dinners.
That's excellent.
I just don't understand it.
Roger, you are pleased, aren't you?
Charles, do you think I want to spend the rest of my life in this dead and alive hole?
Dead and alive hole? But this is the beauty. The peace.
Bugger beauty and peace.
Well, just as you like, of course, but think about the money. That's what I do when I'm down in the dumps, when I'm feeling blue. All I have to do is count up my spondoolies, then I'm glad from my guts to my ghoulies. Or is that a piece of really rather peculiar mental meandering?
Yes, it is. This wasn't meant to happen.
How do you mean it wasn't meant to happen?
Would you think I want to spend the remainder of my days surrounded by people who go to church and vote Conservative?
Oh, I thought Devon was rather Liberal Democrat territory nowadays.
They're even worse. I hate bloody Devon. I hate this bloody restaurant. It wasn't meant to succeed.
But how do you mean it wasn't meant to succeed?
There's nothing for it. I'm going to have to give them my lally of goat flambéed in iron brew. If that doesn't get rid of them, nothing will.
How do you mean it wasn't meant to succeed?
Well, surely Martin explained everything. You do know I'm a tax lawyer.
I didn't know that, did I, Martin?
Oh, didn't I mention it, Charles?
This restaurant wasn't meant to make money. It was meant to lose money.
Just get this straight. I've been slaving my guts out to get customers into this restaurant, and I've been wasting my time. You swine.
You. You're responsible for these ghastly punters and peasants all over my tax dodge. You swine.
Martin!
Two lallies, a bottle of pop, and the grilled weasel.
When you've got a moment.
Morning, Charles.
It is not a good morning.
Feeling a bit queasy this morning? Something got your goat?
Nothing to do with the goat. It's to do with my strenuous and totally unappreciated efforts to make the restaurant the toast of the culinary world. Martin, you've played me for a plunker.
Yes.
You've played us both for plunkers.
Some people just seem made for each other, Charles.
You know what I don't understand? If Roger wanted this restaurant to fail, why didn't he just serve appalling food all the time instead of just last night?
Oh, he couldn't do that, Charles. He just couldn't resist showing off. Some people can't.
I'm not going to forget this, Martin.
Well, there we are. Ordinary, decent people. The beauty and the peace. I don't care if I never see London again. Oh, dear.
Martin, I have been made a complete fool of.
Yes, yes, a coiled spring of enterprise. A capitalist force of nature.
Oh, you dear. Do love your little joke, don't you? Martin, you are brilliant, but fundamentally unsound.
Thus, credulous fools.
Don't you quote bloody Shakespeare at me. Do compare that game, my dear. I will do such things. I know not what yet they are, but they will be the terrors of the earth.
Brilliant. Oh, righty-ho. Well, I should save them for London if I were you. Message from Clive. Healthy eating campaign a disaster. Archie on hunger strike, please advise. Come on, old friend. Let's go back to London. Devon's just a bit too sophisticated for you, isn't it?
Charles, what the blazes are these... these things?
They are erotic lard products. Oh. You've been sent a range of free samples and a large cheque, as a matter of fact. Clive has done rather well in our absence. Perhaps we should go away more often.
No. You should not go away more often. Please do not mention Clive.
Hello, Archie.
Oh, stop gibbering, Archie.
We've received the cheque, Charles. Apparently sales of the cardiac special donor kebabs have gone through the roof.
Excellent, excellent. Leave it in the desk.
Do I get a bonus for my work whilst you've been away?
Get out.
Doner kebabs, indeed. You know, Charles, you were right in the first place. You just can't sell healthy eating to the British people. It just can't be done.
Of course it can.
So how?
You've been going about this the wrong way. You see, you've been lecturing and hectoring and preaching and teaching. It turns people off. What this campaign needs is sex. No subtlety at all and a great deal of sex.
Can you explain this a bit more?
Well, it's perfectly simple. You run a campaign featuring a very fat, naked man. And the strap line is, well, you know, if he'd had fewer chips, he'd be getting more sex. Or what about less jam equals more crumpet? Something like that.
Mm? It's brilliant. I love it. It associates healthy eating with fun and pleasure.
Yes, exactly.
You won't get your oats till you've eaten your prunes.
Exactly, and quite, and so on. Yes, I've always admired your enthusiasm, Archie. Why don't you take it somewhere else and give it space to grow?
Charles, I can't thank you enough.
Wait till you see the invoice.
The PM is going to love it. Pictures of him and Cherie.
I don't know that the posters need to go that far, actually.
I'll get straight on with it. Thank you. Don't go away again, Charles, will you? London cannot cope without you.
I must say, Charles, he was a bit vindictive. Roger is distraught.
Is he?
His entire restaurant's been booked for the annual dinner of the Inland Revenue Staffs Association. It was you, wasn't it?
Was it? Was it really? Well, Martin, you really must have a look at this. It's the poster campaign for the Healthy Eating Project.
Oh, you mean you've really cracked it? I thought it was impossible.
The posters will depict a fat man, a very fat man, gazing forlornly downwards. The punchline is, don't bother sending love letters when you can't even see your own pencil. What do you think?
Charles?
Yes?
Charles?
Something amiss?
This obese, disgusting object. It's got my face.
Has it? Well, there's a certain superficial resemblance.
That is my face on top of something gross, grotesque, and stark naked. Charles, I absolutely forbid you.
Too late, I fear.
Clive!
Charles?
The poster campaign.
Oh, they'll be all over tube stations by tomorrow and on billboards all over England by the end of the week.
You see, Martin, the wheels of commerce have run right over your pencil. Oh, London has no time to wait for you or to spare your sensibilities.
And I'll never be able to show my face in public again.
On the contrary, you'll be showing a good deal more than your face. All over the United Kingdom.
This is a petty act of revenge.
Revenge, yes. Petty? Oh, don't be so modest. Oh, that Soho air, like the latrines of the world. Don't you just love it?
No, I do not.
Never knowingly outwheezed, I rather think. Come on, old friend, let's go down to the Westminster Village and say hello to all the idiots.
You've been listening to Absolute Power by Mark Tapner. It starred Stephen Fry and John Byrd, with Alex Lowe, Tom George, Beth Chalmers and Ewan Bailey. The music was by Matthew Scott and the producer was Dawn Ellis.